Okay, if you're in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, we'll pray, Father, it's your word, and I pray you'd unlock the mysteries in a way that we'll understand, because, you know, it's not a human understanding kind of thing. It's not because we're real bright we get it. It's because Jesus said that I'll send my Spirit, and he will lead you into all truth. Father, we would be led in all truth, or at least the portion you have for us this morning. And we pray you'd bless to that end. Bless our new friends, Lord, the Raychards. And Lord, bless them in their enterprise. I have no doubt that you've called them. So, Lord, as they start to go from place to place, that your blessing would attend. And you would lead them and guide them. In Jesus' name, amen. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. We looked at the first five verses. Listen, we're not a feel-good church. I don't preach positivism. Now, I don't get up here, how can I, rain on everyone's parade? I don't do like that. But if you're going to teach the Word of God, very often it's at cross purposes with our pride. If you remember last week, I called you and I called us foolish, weak, not wise, not mighty, not noble, foolish again, weak, base, and despised. No problem. It's typical Sunday's work. You're welcome. Hey, look, it's the Word of God. And Paul throws himself in that mix. In chapter 2, brother, when I came to you with not with excellency of speech or of wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God. Hey, when I showed up, I wasn't like your typical Greek orator. I didn't show up with all my argumentation in place. With this excellent wisdom. Paul has excellent wisdom. Paul's like one of the smartest men who ever lived, bar none. Incredible intellect. And he could have showed up with all his argumentation in place, but he says, I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and him crucified. I just wanted to share the gospel. The simplistic, foolish gospel. You know, remember the foolishness of the thing preached? For the preaching of the cross, verse 18, chapter 2, is to them that perish foolishness. But unto us, it's the power of God. It pleased God. I got it. Verse 21, for after that, in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching. Literally, the foolishness of the thing preached. What's that? Jesus Christ. Him crucified. Which is not a problem that needs to be solved. How can I make the Bible more palatable? How can I make the gospel more relevant? Hey, here's something. Shut up. You don't need to fix God's word. You know, I'm teaching on Jonah, let's just say, right? Okay, a fish swallowed a guy. What am I going to do with that? I'm going to teach it as a fact because it was. You say, what kind of fish eats a man? Well, there's two. And I remember one of them's great white shark. I can't remember what the other one was. But anyway, there's two. And if it's a whale, and it could be a whale because the word is sea being, sea creature. I think fish. You say, what kind of fish? Guppy. We're talking about God, the God of creation, the God who speaks things into existence. If you have problems with a fish eating a man, you're going to have problems with every word in the Bible. I mean, remember last week, we're the people who believe in floating axe heads and talking donkeys. It's not a problem. He's God. So anyway, all that to tell you that if it didn't build up your ego at all, no apologies. It's not, again, it's not a problem that needs to be fixed. It's a message that needs to be proclaimed. But the good part about that is many of us think in terms like, you know, I want to reach my neighbor. I want to tell my mom about Jesus. I want to talk about, so what am I going to say? You're going to rehearse the simple gospel and say it. You don't need to elaborate. You don't need to be a skilled orator. All you do, the message itself has the seed that changes life. And if God wants to bless and move, he's more than capable to do it through your ineptitude and mine. You see before you, not a skilled preacher. I never said I was. And we kind of joke about the fact that I'm so not. So, have you ever learned truth here? Well, I'm awesome. No, God is. It's His word. Do you think I come up here and I approach this and I say, you know, this is a little weak, this. I better put in a couple jokes. The material doesn't really, because I'm such a fine speaker, but the material here is a little thin. I better kind of pep it up with. No. I mean, I think even thinking that, that's absurd. It's abominable. No, the message is the message. All you got to do, unleash the lion, and he's going to win the day. Anyway, Paul's saying, yeah, I just showed up. I talked about Jesus Christ, him crucified. I was with you in what? Weakness and fear, this great orator, right? So much so that God showed up. Jesus Christ, the Lord showed up and said, Paul, stop being afraid. It's going to be okay. No one's going to hurt you. I got a lot of people in this city. Oh, would to God he had a lot of people in this town. That your faith should not stand in the wisdom of God, but in the power of men. That's very key. That's very key. Let's move into new stuff now. Howbeit, we speak wisdom among them that are perfect, yet not the wisdom of the world, nor the princes of the world that come to naught. What? We speak wisdom. There actually is wisdom. Paul's saying it here, okay? We're speaking wisdom, real wise wisdom, okay? Not foolishness. Two things about this wisdom. It's not automatic, and it takes time. Okay? I liken it to a library card. I got a Newport library card. I don't, but I always mean to get one. Anyway, let's say I have a Newport library card, right? And all the books in the library, I know them all now because I get the library card. Adam, that's not the way it works. I know. You got to go. You got to actually sit. You got to open them up. And you got to read them. And you got to struggle with, okay, what was he saying? What's the idea here? And you got to filter through all the nonsense, and then you can get the wisdom, okay? Well, the Bible doesn't have nonsense, but you still got to, owning a library card does not avail you of all that's in this book. We speak wisdom among them that are perfect. Oh, nifty. I got to become perfect before I can understand the Bible. Relax, mature. And we've talked about that in the past. We know that what that means. In ESV, I was looking at that earlier this week, mature. There's a maturation process. You grow into it. New baby Christian, guy saved last Tuesday. We expect him to say silly things. That's fine. It's even cute. It's on schedule. He's writing, and that's fine. Now, somebody who's been saved 20 years, not so cute, okay? Your little two-year-old sitting at the table looking at a picture book. Ball, ducky, horsey. Oh, how cute is that? Your college student, you know, same book, same table. Ball, ducky, that's a travesty. We cry about that. Many Christians are in that boat. They do not avail themselves of the wisdom of God. It's not automatic, and it does take time, but God will bless. How much time? Listen, I've seen some amazing things. The person with the library card learned a lot of stuff. It's quick. God will make young men old, young women old, mature in a surprisingly short amount of time. Avail yourselves. Can eight-year-olds be called by God? Yeah, yeah, we heard it here this morning. Yeah, yeah. Can they figure it out at like a young age? Yeah. God's amazing. We speak, yet not the wisdom of this world, which is, I asked the question, I didn't ask it right. What's the definition of wisdom? What's the definition of foolishness? The definition, I should say, what's the definition of wisdom according to the verse? The definition is silly, foolish, abysmal, abominable, and anti-God. The question this week, I got the question this week for our homework. What concerns you most? Transhumanism, artificial intelligence, unidentified aerial phenomena, World Economic Forum, sensorial social media platforms, cancel culture, cashless society, or climate change. What do these have in common? Worldly wisdom. What do they also have in common? They're making great inroads in the Church of Jesus Christ. And none of it is biblical, and most of it is anti-biblical. Okay? By the way, if you show up for your study Wednesday night, that right there is worth the price of admission. But I give you some insight already. You can already start figuring that out. Not the wisdom of this world, not of the princes of this world that come to naught. The rulers, the movers, the shakers, the influencers, if I can use a term that we're all familiar with. All the stuff that they're saying, it's all going to come to naught. When? Jesus is going to come back, y'all. I don't know if you know that or not. And he's going to judge. And all that stuff that's being promoted, it's not going anywhere. It's not, you don't get plaudits and accolades in the kingdom of God for influencing children to mutilate themselves because they were assigned the wrong gender at birth. You don't get an attaboy. Come into the kingdom, thou good and faithful servant. You cause people to have surgery and take dangerous drugs that are going to make them infertile forever. We love that. Come on in. That's not the way it works. It's worldly wisdom. And it's going to come to nothing. But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the world unto our glory. Glorification is another way of saying it. And when we talk about salvation, you're saved from the power of sin, right? It's called justification. You're saved, you're being saved from the power of sin in your life. Did I say power? I meant penalty. You're saved. We have been saved from the penalty of sin, okay? It's called sanctification, or justification. We're being saved from the power of sin in our life. It's called sanctification. We will be saved from the presence of sin in our life. Total salvation, and that is called glorification. What does God have on tap for you? All three. Some of us don't avail ourselves that second at all. It takes a little bit of... You don't earn it, but you do it. You work out your salvation with fear and trembling. That does not mean earning salvation. That means get on with it. Christian hygiene, do the things that are necessary for growth. God has given us the power over sin in our life. God help us if we're still victimized by sin all the time. Listen. That's a you problem. When I fall, when I give place to the devil, a defeated foe, that's a me problem. You understand that? Jesus has given us the victory. We don't make we don't avail ourselves of it. Yeah, that's a you problem. That's a me problem. Okay, so there really is wisdom available. We speak of the wisdom of God in a mystery. 8 mysteries in the New Testament. That's good homework. Find them all. Mystery means something that in the past is hidden and now it's made manifest, now it's made obvious. This one, hidden wisdom, God ordained before the world, and it results in our glory. None of the princes of the world knew. Now, some people think these princes in verse 6 are demonic princes. You know, I don't see that. It can be. If you think that, okay, no big argument there. But I think it's none of the princes of this world knew, for had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. You say it still could be demonic. Yeah, but I have an idea. Satan kind of did know. He's not oblivious to Scripture. I think he knows it better than I do and better than you do. And I think he, just because he's nasty and he wanted Christ dead at all, it's not like Jesus rose from dead and Satan was like super surprised, because it's too much. Like when it was Resurrection Sunday, we went over the resurrection of Jesus Christ in the Old Testament. I know that stuff. You don't think Satan knows it? Well, I think the people, the Sanhedrin, the Romans, the people who physically put him to death, the religious rulers, I think if they had known, they wouldn't have crucified the Lord of glory. But as it is written, eye hath not seen, nor hath ear heard, neither hath entered into the hearts of men the things that God hath prepared for them that love him. I think I've quoted this wrong in the past. A lot of people use this. Heaven is so awesome, you ain't got no idea. And when you get there, you're going to be, oh my goodness, oh my goodness, oh my goodness, oh my goodness. This is crazy good. Oh wow, Lord, you're so incredible. Which, by the way, I think is absolutely true. And I don't think this verse is saying that. But I've quoted it that way before, and I think a lot of other people have, but I'm not going to anymore because I don't think it says that. I mean, heaven is a wow place, okay? You're gonna say wow, okay, more than one time. I'm going to be such a rube. I'm going to be such like a... Oh, I can't even, I'm just waiting for my mind to be blown. Because that's who God is. That's how he is. Okay? Absent that now, put that aside. I think it's true, but I don't think this verse is saying it. I think it's saying, you know, you haven't, before you got saved, you never would have figured this out. I have not seen nor heard, and it's never entered into your heart, the things that God has prepared for them that love him. I didn't see it. I looked at Christians and I thought like, ugh. What a dull life. Hey, guys, what are you doing later on? You going to a prayer meeting? No. Oh, Bible study. Whoa. That's who I was. The mocker, of course. Wow, sounds fun. You crazy man, you. Right? Do you like prayer meeting? Have you met God in prayer? Do you like Bible study? Have you been sitting in a place where God has just spoken to you and it's just like, when you know God's speaking to your heart, listen, you can give me that or $1 million. I take that every time, every single time. When I know God and me are connecting and he's speaking right in my heart and he's telling me things that I need to know. I go to all these conferences. I go to, you know, conference here. And I go to men's conferences. In Bangor, and went to that one in China, Maine. You know what I mean. What happened? God showed up and he spoke to me. He always does. He never misses an opportunity. I don't think I've ever come away with that like, yeah, where was God? That was dull. It could happen, I guess. But again, I think that's kind of a me problem. I probably didn't prepare my heart. And even when I don't prepare my heart, he shows up and talks to me anyway because he says a lot of things he wants me to know. You've been there? Hey, eye hasn't seen. Ear hasn't heard. It hasn't even entered into the heart of man, the things that God has prepared for love. God has prepared for them that love him. But God has revealed them unto us by his Spirit. For the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. And that explains a lot to me. I get it. I so get this. Jesus says, I'm going to say, you know, it's expedient that I go away. No way. No, you ain't going there. We got to establish a kingdom. We got some work to do. Hey, I'm going to sit on your right hand and my brother here on your left. I mean, you can't go anywhere. No, it's better that I go because I'm going to send the Spirit and he's going to lead you into all truth. I think truth, capital T truth, okay? I worship the truth. You say, Adam, you worship a concept? No, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. I worship the truth. I've developed this saying, you've heard me say, true truth. Why? Because the people, the worldly wise people, say things like, well, your truth is your truth. Yeah, if it works for you. No, truth is objectively true. I am on for truth, reality, if you want to call it a true truth, on principle. I think we should face truth squarely, and then we can make rational, good decisions based on truth. As a society, as, you know, we talk about reproductive rights. You know, it's funny, because I was listening to the hearing, I sat through all of them, those people, who had a right to kill babies in utero because they were inconvenient. And they tell all these stories that will break your heart, frankly, about, you know, something gone really bad medically and things of this nature. And you think, like, yeah, that's sad, that's tragic. I mean, when a pregnancy goes wrong, we're both sad on both sides of the aisle, on both sides of the issue. When a child dies, that's tragic in anyone's world. I get that. But nobody on their team was talking about the life of the baby. And they, you know, it's funny to me because they use the word fetus all the time. What's fetus? Well, it's Latin for baby. But if we say fetus, it's not a baby anymore. It's not a living being. It's a collection of cells. Satan does things with words that are, and he's done that with truth. You know, you can't know truth. You can't. You know, if you come stand up and say, "Yeah, I found the truth. I know the truth," you are a buffoon, and you're involved in hate speech. And if you say, "Well, you know, I don't know. I'm searching for the truth," and you're brilliant, and we all love you. Worldly wisdom. Well, I know the truth. He was here a couple thousand years ago, walked in sandals, just, you know, Carhartt tunic, just blue-collar guy. And me and Tommy and Isaac, we know if Jesus came today, he would have been an electrician. The light of the world would have been an electrician. But he was a carpenter, and we're good with that because that's a very honorable profession. He's still blue-collar, and we love that. We love that. I know him. I know him personally. He saved my life. He changed my forever. I know him. And, you're a buffoon. No, well, maybe that's true, but God has revealed his truth to us, his wisdom to us by the Spirit of God. The Spirit searches all things. He searches the deep things of God. And I've known things that are way past my intellect. I didn't figure it out because I'm so bright. God told me. Because he's God, because he's the Spirit of God. He knows the mind of God. And that's what it's going to say here, and it's going to go on to say that. What man knoweth the things of man? Well, I do. You ever hear me say, "Well, this is true of you," and you say, and I go on to say, "Well, how do I know that?" Because it's true of me. I know how men are. Sometimes it's a man and a lady thing, and I don't ever claim to know how ladies, I mean, I have not cracked the code. I do not. Men are from Mars, women are from Venus, and I'm married to this Venusian, and I have not. Most of the time, I don't. She draw pictures, use crayons. If you're hinting, I don't get hints. I try hard. Now, there's a few things I've learned over the many years. Right? She says I'll be ready in 2 minutes. Those 2 minutes are the same. Like, you know, when it's 2 minutes at the end of the football game. And a half hour later, you're actually going. It's the same 2 minutes. I learned that much, but most guys know that, right? But she, later on, she'll be upset with me. I know that's hard for you to believe. You say, "No, Adam, you, no, go on, that's crazy." Sometimes she's upset with me, and I say, what's the deal? And when she unravel the onion, take all them layers off, down to the core of it, the thing, and she said, "Well, I said, and you... Yeah, but I never would have got that." Well, you know, and she hints and kind of leads me to think, and she just won't say. Guys just say, you know. And then she thinks I'm like her. When I say something, she thinks it's all nuanced, and we don't do nuance, do we? We just kind of just, yeah, I know. But I know stuff about guys. I really do. I'm a guy. God knows stuff about God. What man knoweth the things of man? Say the spirit of man which is in him. Me, you. Even so, the things of God knoweth no man, but the spirit of God. Again, Jesus says, yeah, it's good that I send the spirit. He's going to lead you. He's the spirit of truth. He's going to lead you in all truth. That's a good thing. That's a good thing. I have to listen to worldly wisdom. I have to be swayed by every new thing that comes down the pipe. If I told you 20 years ago that gender was a social construct and, you know, you could be born in the wrong body, and medicine in America is going to avail itself of that. There's a lot of money to be made in transgenderism, if that's even a word. Yeah. Well, transgender is a word. There's a lot of money to be made. And medical is just like everything else. Okay, we talked about this last week. What do they got wrong? Education, governing, social media, hate speech. The news is wrong. The schools are wrong. And now medicine's wrong. Who saw that one coming? I didn't. They slipped that one by me too. I'll give them a hall pass on the pandemic. We've never been through a pandemic before. I'll give them a hall pass. I'll give me a hall pass. I close the church down. But like I say, never been through a pandemic before. But what's going on now in transgender, that's unconscionable. That is unconscionable. What is the medical community doing about it? Speaking out? Well, I don't know. I got this job and I... Not all doctors. I always talk and I paint with a broad brush. If there are doctors speaking out, there's not enough of them. We could fix this tomorrow. All docs say, no. What don't you understand about no? Problem solved. Right? You say, Adam, that's asking a lot. You just got to speak the truth. That's all you got to do. I don't think I'm being unreasonable asked that of any man or woman. What man knoweth, I wasn't even planning on going there. What man knoweth things of man save the spirit of man which is in him? Even the things of God knoweth no man but the spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world. I talk about zeitgeist. What is zeitgeist? It's spirit of the age, spirit of the world. That's what it means. And it changes and it's fickle. I don't have to change next week. Why? Because I'm plugged into something that's eternal. God doesn't change his mind. Right? Sex outside of marriage is still wrong. Went to a wedding yesterday. My partner at work got married. I was so proud of him. Everyone at work, like, you're not living with her? You're not sleeping with her? Are you kidding me? Who buys a car without taking it for a test drive? And he was unabashed. He was out there for Jesus. He said, that's not the way we Christians do things. I believe God's ways are better. I was so proud. You have no idea. I was so proud. Well, God bless his marriage. I'm sure of it. In my own thinking, I'm absolutely sure of it. Worldly wisdom? Yeah, let's all sleep together first. Which, by the way, as we all know, drives the divorce rate up, not down. But worldly wisdom. No, it's wrong. In case you haven't learned that, it's wrong. I'm not going to have to amend my statement next month after God changes his mind and says it's okay now. That's the beauty of knowing this book. We haven't received the spirit of the world, but the spirit which is of God, that we might know things that are freely given to us of God. He wants us to have wisdom. He wants us to know his will, his ways, his word. Which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Ghost teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. Follow God, you'll always be right. But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God. They are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. Now, he can't know them why. Well, they're spiritually discerned, but he can't know them why. Is that an act of the will or act of God's will? That's a homework question. Don't cop out. Think about it. Big debate out there. It's been around for a long time. I'd love to be saved. I'd love to know God's will. I can't. He won't let me. Here I am, dead and going to hell. Or is it like Jesus says to Nicodemus? You know, men don't come to the truth because their deeds are evil. They love the darkness. Is it an act of the will? Or is God withholding physically? I'm not going to let you in on the secret. It's a good question. Well, I'll tell you what I feel. I think that to the heart that's open, listen, nobody's searching for God. We're in Romans, right? Remember Romans 3? There's none to do with righteous, no, not one. Hey, none of us are seeking after God. All we like sheep have gone astray. Our mouth is an open grave. Our tongues is the seed of poisonous snakes. We're just nasty people. And we get what we deserve. Sometimes, on the road to perdition, present company included, God shows up. He says, no, I've got better things planned for you. After I get saved, and all the dust says, Lord, I don't deserve it. He goes, yep, it's exactly correct. You don't. You so don't. It's called grace. You're welcome. Praise his holy name. The natural man, the guy who's not spiritual, the guy who's not born again, the natural man, he doesn't receive the things of the Spirit of God. They're foolishness unto him. They were to me right up until the time I got saved. Neither can he know them. Does that mean neither can he know them? He can't know them whatsoever. He just can't. Well, again, I kind of think that's what it's saying. They're spiritually discerned. Two people in the same room. Make them conjoined twins, sitting in the same service. You're teaching the word to the same, the ears work the same, they have the same parents. One of them is sitting there crying, you know, like, oh my God, I've got to be saved. And their heart's on fire, and their conjoined twin is like, what are you on about? What's going on? I say, does that actually happen? Hey, seen it. Seen it, you know what I mean? Not in the case of conjoined twins, but I've seen people, hey, this word has an amazing effect on somebody else, and they just didn't. How did that work out? I don't know how it works. I can't tell you which way the wind's going to blow. John chapter 3, right? Spirit does what the Spirit wants to do. We pray and we want God to work. But he that is spiritual judges all things, yet he himself is judged of no man. For who hath known the mind of the Lord, that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. Now, hardly needs any comment there at all, right? He that is spiritual judgeth all things. We're going to judge angels. You know that, right? He himself is judged of no man. Condemned is the idea. Why? Because that's God's doing. And before God we stand or fall. We'll learn about that next chapter in Corinthians. And the idea when we're talking about the judgment of God, I ain't going to leave you hanging. Listen, God's judging our works. And what does that look like? It looks like the loss or the gain of reward. See, he's not judging our sin. Already done. It's called Calvary. Okay? You're never answering for your sin. Or, one, there is no answer. Adam, why did you do X, Y, Z? Because I'm a horrible human being? Because I'm a sinner? God doesn't ask questions that have an obvious answer. He never asks questions to find out the answer. He already knows the answer. Why would he ask that? I mean, I already know the answer. He knows the answer. I'm a horrible human being. I don't think that question's ever going to come up. Why? What was Calvary all about? Jesus shed his blood to cleanse me from all sin. Now I'm answering for sin? That doesn't make sense. You got to give an account for your activities in Christ. He's going to judge that. And there'll be reward, right? Silver, gold, precious stones. There'll be loss, wood, hay, stubble. Crowns are involved here. What is crowns anyway? Because I'm not a crown guy, right? This is game online. Royal Match, I don't know if any of you have it. The ads drive me crazy. Why do I want to save a king? I'm an American, okay? King and crowns don't do it for me. I don't know about you, okay? I'm not a crown guy. You want to give me a crown? It's kind of ostentatious. I don't know that. I think there are five crowns in the New Testament, and that could be all different words for the same crown, or it could be five of the whole set's 24 crowns. I don't know, okay? And people teach about crowns, and they're obviously rewards that we get. And I don't know about you. It's never really... Now, I think we should... I'm looking for rewards. I mean, I really am. Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Enter into the joy of the Lord. I get all goosebumpy every time I say that, or hear that. I'm looking for rewards. But then we read in Revelation, we take our crowns and we cast them on the glassy sea before his feet. Oh, does that mean that has the idea of, has got something to do with our capacity to worship him eternally? I don't know, but suddenly crowns sound like a good idea to me. I say, hey, can you loan me your crown? I want to worship here, and I ain't got any. I mean, seems to me I'd kind of want some at that point, right? A crown or crowns. I don't know how it works. But then all of a sudden, it seems very important. We're not judged by any man. Why? It's because God judges. And who has known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. We got 10 minutes left, and I'm going to jump into chapter 3, and I've got the first 8 verses, and a little fast. I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as unto babes in Christ. This is not a feel-good message to the Corinthians. And sometimes, listen, I'm not calling you a babe in Christ. That's kind of judgmental. Paul's saying it, and I think he's the father of this church. He has a right to see what's going on, inspect fruit. Judge yourself. Is this me? Is this me? Am I really a carnal person? Am I really concerned with fleshly? Carnal, right? You've eaten chili con carne, and if you haven't, that's a tragic mistake. But anyway, chili con carne, chili with meat, carne. Flesh, that's what it means. And he's saying you're acting fleshly, but you're not supposed to be. You're a church. You're supposed to be acting spiritually. But you're still acting like you're in the flesh. And this should have been a transformation. One of the homework questions, is he talking to Christians or not? I'll give you the answer. Yeah. Sometimes Christians, sometimes who know Jesus Christ in a saving way, who call him Savior, do not act like he's their Lord. Now, I don't know if I can give you an example here in America in the 21st century. A church that acts carnal. All churches, many Christians, most, well, let God be the judge of that. But I mean, it's not. We don't have to sit here and imagine. We see it every day, all the time. Do we see it in our lives? By the way, if you do, I'm telling you, this is the pastor who loves you. You're very unhappy. You're schizo. You're very, very unhappy. Because you know enough about Jesus that he has spoiled us for the world forever. And if we don't bow down and worship him as master, as Lord, you're calling all the shots. There's not really much joy. There's simply not. And I think we all know that at some level. And Satan is a liar. And he says, if you do this, people will love you and they will accept you and you'll get a lot of likes on Facebook and it will be so wonderful. And it never is. And it never is. And Satan's a liar. And he always has been a liar and he always will be a liar. Say, Lord, you are. Remember back in Romans chapter 12? I said, this is foundational. Present your body as a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God. This is only your reasonable service, right? And it talks about being transformed by this word, the renewing of our minds. We may prove what's the acceptable and good will of God. You will find the purpose for why you were born, why God called you, why he saved you. You're trying to fulfill the flesh, which is insatiable and will never be satisfied. You're never going to find out, okay, what's this all about? Why am I here? Why am I saved? Why has God rescued me from oblivion? Why? You're never going to find it out, trying to serve the flesh. I'd like to speak to you like spiritual, but you know what your problem is? You're still fleshly. You're babes in Christ, which is good if you're a babe. Babes are good. We love babies, okay? We think they're great. Again, the 20-year-old ducky, horsey, that's no good. That's we cry over that, right? How many 20-year-old Christians we know who are still desiring the milk of the word. That they're not. I fed you with milk, not with meat. Hitherto you're not able to bear it, neither yet now are you able. Babies are nursed. Steak, not for the first, 2-3 weeks anyway, right? That's coming, but it's down the road. They have to develop, you know, certain biologically, and meat's a wonderful thing at some point, and mother's milk is going to help you grow, and that's very, very normal. That's what God wants, but not forever. For ye are yet carnal, for whereas there is among you envying and strife and divisions, are ye not carnal and walk as men? They're even bragging about the way they came into the kingdom. One saith, I'm of Paul. Yeah, Paul led me to the Lord. I'm Apollos. Listen, Apollos is golden orator. He's got it all. He's the complete package, okay? And here at Corinth, that would be a big deal. Who's Paul? Who's Apollos? We're ministers of by whom you believe, and even as the Lord that gave to every man. You know, hey, you know what? I got saved. Billy freaking Graham led me to the Lord. Okay, right? All right? So I just jumped over all of you. My wife, Greg Laurie, come on. Actually, she really was. Me, I don't, a guy. Larry, a guy, right? No, does it really matter? It can't, right? It totally can't. But they're bragging it up like it matters. Who's Paul? Who's Apollos? We're just ministers of the same God. I've planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. So I did some planting yesterday. I did. A lot. Good time. And you put the seeds in, right? And I cover them up with like raised bed dirt, which is mostly, by the smell of my hands afterwards, mostly manure. But and then I cover them all up, and then I put some leaves on it, so you know what I mean. And then I water it all down real good. All these steps, I think, are kind of vital. And there was nobody around to plant, and then I had to come by behind him and water, because she's off to the conference, and that's fine. And then what do? I pray. I don't know if your wife's out in the other room. When she plants, does she pray? You guys, gardeners, do you pray? I do. And you know why? I've planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. I do this in spiritual matters. Every time I always pray. Listen, it's his word. Me? The talking donkey, right? Balaam's ass that spoke. Me? Nothing much. I get it. I so get that. Anything that's going to happen in your life that's going to change for good and for God for eternity, well, the Spirit of God's going to show up and do a work. And I know it, and I pray. Me? I've never changed anything, anybody, permanently. I don't have the wherewithal. I've planted, Apollos watered. God gave the increase. And we've got to remember that. So then, neither is he that planteth anything, amen. Neither is he that watereth, amen. But God that giveth the increase, praise his holy name. Now he that planteth and he that watereth are one. Every man shall receive his own reward according to his own labor. There it is. There's your word for Sunday morning. First Sunday in May, 2023. I hope it's really blessed your heart. And if it hasn't, it's not. That anything that happens negatively, that's probably me. If it happens good, praise God. Okay? Let's just leave it at that. Now our worship leader is going to come, and they're going to send us out of here in song. Let's stand. Let's pray. Father, you're good. We thank you for this word. Good word. It's a good word. It changes us for good and for God. And Lord, if we have been carnal, if we've been, our focus has been wrong, we pray that you would change us, that we might present our bodies to you, a living sacrifice, that we would not only call you Savior, Lord, but we call you Lord, and we would mean it, and our lives would look like something. Now may the Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen.